your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Good day, and welcome to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Reiki Master and host Phyllis Lei Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. This series of shows that I'm doing now is called, for me, Children of Reiki. So these are people who have had Reiki for many, many years, often initiated when they were very young children. Our guest today, Mara Mitchell, was born into a family of Reiki masters. Her mother and father were both masters at the time that Mara was born, and so she's been living with Reiki all of her life. And some of the other interviews that we've had, of course, the people have said that they couldn't imagine what it would be like living without Reiki. And it's an interesting perspective from a lot of us who, of course, made the decision as adults and decided to take Reiki, a Reiki class, and then are now perhaps passing it on to our children. So these interviews, for me, are a way for us to understand some of the results of being raised in a family that practices Reiki. Mara, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I've known Mara all of her life because I'm very close with her parents, and it's really wonderful to have you on the show, Mara.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to doing this.
Oh, wonderful. Well, let's see. I guess what would be a nice question to begin with is, when were you in your life aware of Reiki, and how did that come about? Do you have a first memory of Reiki, like a first memory of your life kind of thing?
Well, that's an interesting question. Because one of the things that I was going to say about my connection with Reiki is that it's been something that's so essential to my experience and who I am that it's very hard to separate it out. So probably like other young people who have, you know, who were raised with this. I would say probably my conscious interaction with it was when I was six and asked to be initiated by my parents, which they did together in the living room of our house. And I don't remember what experience in myself led up to that. But I know after that I would practice on my dolls. And so it was, and would, I think probably I was, you know, wanted to imitate my parents and do what they did. And so I would also, I would show my friends about how, you know, how I could treat my dolls.
And did they join you?
That I don't recall. I mostly just remember showing them.
Great.
Yeah.
I have a great picture in my mind of this. And so do you remember at all what it was like to be initiated by your parents? Like, what was, is this too private? Just how that was for you?
It's not too private. It's mostly just a matter of my recollection or lack thereof. I mean, it's initiation is a very funny thing, right? So I have a visceral memory of like sitting on this little chair in the living room with my feet on the carpet, and I mean, and being in the presence of something that, especially when you're six, it's like you have no, there are no words for that.
Uh-huh.
So I think it's a very difficult experience even to vocalize. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well,
because
I think
it's at a time when you don't
true
have
for
so
adults.
Many words.
Yeah. Great. And then, did you practice Reiki with your parents? Like, if they got sick, did you treat them, or were you open to treatment if you needed to somehow, you know, have energy at a time when you were sick or upset or?
Oh yeah, Reiki was the constant. The antidote for anything that ails you, basically.
I see. Did you ever long for something else?
I wouldn't say so. It was a very, I think, comforting kind of element in my life.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, the only thing that was difficult about it was just the weirdness of it in, you know, in relationship to or as judged by the larger community that
uh-huh.
we lived in.
So was it difficult for you to go to school and, you know, when they said, I don't know, at some point I guess in school kids talk about, you know, what their parents do or what
right.
they don't do or what they do for a living and so on. And did that ever come up for you in school?
Definitely. I mean, I always felt like the black sheep. We lived in a very rural, conservative community. I mean, and I grew up hearing my parents' stories of when they first moved there, and one of the teachers in the school where my mom taught, she was teaching second grade at that point, you know, called all the parents of the children in her class to say that she did the devil's work. I mean, so this was not an easy community, you know, to practice Reiki in. But somehow I never, like, I knew that that was my parents' experience, but I never felt like I experienced any negative, like, direct negative repercussions socially.
Uh-huh.
I didn't experience that. It was more just an issue for me internally of not feeling like I fit in.
Uh-huh. And how did you ever resolve that feeling of not fitting in?
In some ways, yes. I really, growing up in that community, probably by high school, I felt like I'd really learned to relate to people just on a more kind of just human basis. So, okay, regardless of our differences, regardless of what your parents do and what my parents do, you know, we're just here and we're people and we grew up in the same place, you know, and share the experience of that, and so, okay, that's enough. That's all we
you
really need.
Yeah,
to relate
yeah.
To
well, I, you know, I grew up feeling like the black sheep of the family, perhaps. I don't know if most of the world has this feeling inside or not, but it seems like a very prevalent one, no matter what.
Yeah, that may be just be the case.
I don't know. It's interesting. But I don't know that, I think that it took me several decades to come out of that feeling. And that's always interesting for me to understand that this feeling of being the black sheep is sort of within me and that other people didn't see me. They just saw me as different. That's what my high school buddies have said, but they didn't. But it wasn't about the things that I thought I was different, which was really interesting. Like, I thought I was the black sheep and kind of different because I was Japanese in sort of an all-white community. But that wasn't the reason that they felt like I was different. Always a shock to find out.
Yeah, well, and one thing I will say, and this is funny for me because, like I said at the beginning, having Reiki as such a constant, omnipresent force, it's even hard for me to separate kind of what aspects of my personality might be tied to Reiki or what's just my personality, you know, from because of other factors. But one thing I do think is rather tied to Reiki is just how relational I am. Like that, yeah, that connection with people, you know, or plants or whatever is just really important to me and kind of central to who I am. And I think that Reiki kind of contributed to that because it's, because its function is kind of to break down barriers. It's this, connecting force, or at least that's kind of how I experience it.
So, do you have like a childhood story of Reiki that comes to mind that you could share with us?
Hello?
Let's see.
Well, if one does...
Yeah, I'm not sure if anything quite comes to mind.
Okay, great. Well, let's just keep that question on hold and we'll go on from that. So right now, you're in school, you're in college?
I am.
And what's your major these days?
That is actually the exact thing that I was working on before and will be working on after this interview.
I see. Well, you know, this sounds really a lot like my experience. It's like there's so many choices. Of things that are out there in the world, and to narrow it down to one focus is pretty difficult, huh?
It's awful, frankly. But the way I'm finding to narrow it down is I would say I've always had a pretty strong connection to place. Just growing up the way I did on this piece of property in northern Idaho, you know, for 18 years. I mean, I was born on that land, lived there my entire life until I left for college first time.
Mara, I just have to interrupt you, and we'll be back with this question,
okay.
So you get a couple of seconds to think about this. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We'll be back with Mara Mitchell in just a few moments.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Never before in the history of live radio have such illuminating revelations challenged everything we thought we knew about the hidden realms. This exceptional mystic, seer, and healer creates a truly amazing bridge across the chasm that has separated man for eons from the unseen worlds of mystery. Join host Al Mean for an extraordinary and enlightening hour by Walking Between the Worlds on Voice America's Seventh Wave Network. Walking Between the Worlds airs live every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
Are you tired of carrying a heavy wooden massage table around? Is your back sore? Or do you have imprints of cables and braces on your kneecaps after sitting and giving a Reiki treatment? Try a lightweight Astrolite massage table for maximum comfort. Contact us, Paul or Upasana, at www.portablemassagetables.com. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Over there? Over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on. It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. Teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her 2-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn, so follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand. Oh, no, it's not food. It's sand. We don't eat sand.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at pornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Today I have with me Mara Mitchell, and for those of you who have been listening to the show, you will have heard her father, Paul Mitchell, at least 3 times on the radio. And her mother has just been on the radio, Susan Mitchell, in the last sequence of interviews about the World Reiki Movement. So now we have Mara. Mara is their eldest daughter, and as she was saying just before the break, she was born, raised, and lived on this property in North Idaho for her first 18 years of her life. And being born in placement of all of us certainly influences our, you know, who we think of, how we think of ourselves, and how we go out into the world, and where our home is. And so, Mara, I'm sorry to have interrupted you in your response, but we'll come right back into the question. So, you're trying to figure out your major and your focus in life, and
yes.
I don't know, is it really possible in the, you know, when you're in your 20s?
Well, what I'm... I'm 25 at this point, so I feel like it's really time to finish up this piece of my life.
Sort of good luck.
My undergraduate education.
Uh-huh.
But the way I'm choosing to focus is strongly based on place and coming to know the ecology of this region. Right now I'm living in Bellingham, the Pacific Northwest, and stretching that kind of over the Cascades and back to the inland Northwest, and really focusing on the natural and human history of this region, and also some practical farming skills. I'm really interested in sustainable agriculture, and this is a great place to learn. There's lots of agriculture in Whatcom County.
Uh-huh.
And then storytelling is the other component of my degree. So I've done some journalism, some creative writing, and really looking at how do people tell stories and how can we reconnect our stories to the place that we live.
Uh-huh.
So...
Oh, interesting. So I can remember when you were very small, your mom would bring out the photo album that she kept. I always admired Susan's ability to record her life and record your life also in these photo albums, which is very organized I'm not really ever organized in photographs. And she would use this to tell stories about your early life and your family and so on. And I always really appreciated the energy of doing this. Do you remember her doing this?
Well, actually, I never would have kind of picked it out as something to notice. I mean, again, probably because it was so much a part of the fabric of just family life. But definitely, yeah. And I remember I used to pull out the albums and look through them and ask her to tell me stories. I mean, that was something. I was always asking to be told stories when I was little. I mean, whether it was books or, you know, asking my grandmother to tell me stories from her childhood. That was a common activity when I was little. Stories about when you were a girl.
Yeah. So, you know, we talk a lot about Reiki being an oral tradition, and I'm wondering, you know, the power of storytelling is really amazing. Like, I think over the last 30 years of teaching Reiki that I never understood how much can be conveyed in the telling of a story. And my grandmother and also my Reiki master, when I used to attend classes with her, used to tell these stories of her life and of things that happened to her in her life. And at that point, I was 30 years old and not very open to listening to these stories over and over again. So I could have paid more attention to them, I realize now. So I'm just wondering, in your in your interest in storytelling and so on, if you have ever bridged this place between a kind of way of passing on knowledge, which is called oral tradition, storytelling, and this part of your life that's been in Reiki. Does this seem like a kind of connective piece for you?
Well, let me start back a few paces and then follow that forward. So when I was young, even though I was asking other people to tell me stories all the time, I never felt like I had a story. And this is something that I've worked on for the last several years, has been really uncovering my own story and learning what that is and how to tell it. And it's been, for me, that process has been all about healing. So maybe right there is the connection to Reiki, which I'm only, like, just putting together right at this moment. is that I really recognize in my own life the healing power of storytelling. And still, it's funny, when you ask me, do I have a Reiki story, I have a hard time coming up with anything. And I think, I mean, this is something I've noticed a lot just about my connection with Reiki, is it's something so pervasive, kind of in the background of who I am, that it's like I really have to pull it out and focus on it in order to be able to say anything about it. So I think it's like I know those stories are there, but those are the stories that I'm not, like, I haven't quite learned how to tell yet, like, to separate those out. As an as an element of my experience.
Yeah. You know, this is, you've articulated it so beautifully. And I feel that this is a message that has been coming through in the interviews that I've been doing within the series. And, I mean, even though I was initiated as a child and grew up with it, and my first recollection actually of even being in relationship with my grandmother is sitting on the floor with my hands on her and her moving my hands from one position to another. Wow. And my resenting it because I never liked being told what to do.
Uh-huh.
So I... one of my little personality traits that is also still prevalent. But it's fascinating to me to then, you know, have been sort of entered this world when I was 30, and then I can really pinpoint this line between what I would call before Reiki and after Reiki, even though fundamentally there wasn't any line. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I know that for many, many, many people out in the world today who took Reiki as an adult, this line of demarcation is so clear.
Right.
That there's kind of a feeling of a past life and a future life, you know, or a past life and the life that I have now. And so to imagine, I think, not having that line of demarcation is, you know, a kind of fascinating process because, of course, I can't really experience my life like you, the one that you have had. And at the same time, it's fascinating for me to hear that there's a whole generation, and then there will be another generation after, who has this experience.
Right.
Well, so do you think that there is a gift that your generation offers to your local community as well as to our world society? Have you thought about this?
Well, there's something I want to say in response to kind of your comments about the line of demarcation, and then and then I'll get to the question.
Okay.
Because the way, so you're right. I mean, there is no before Reiki and after Reiki. There's just Reiki. for me, and I'd say the strongest experience of Reiki I've had as far as like how I identify it in my life.
Uh-huh.
As the force that moves me through different stages in my life. So I would say that's the way, I'm the most aware of it, is that there's this kind of something moving me, through life, and that I feel influences how I relate to that.
Uh-huh.
And more, kind of for me, the line of demarcation, in some sense I feel like it's sort of, or is beginning to happen now, as I'm starting to use Reiki more consciously.
What does that mean?
So choosing, I'm currently in the process of setting up a Reiki practice in Bellingham, to actually be able to use this gift or force in my community and offering it to other people.
Great.
Yeah, so I think that in itself is the gift, is just to start to offer this. Practice. Because I'm starting to recognize what a central force Reiki has been in my life, and that up until this point I've really somewhat avoided it.
Uh-huh.
In terms of bringing it out and using it in the world.
Yeah, yeah. Mara, I'm just going to break in.
Okay.
Because we have another station break, and
okay.
We'll be back. Just hold that thought.
Okay.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Awakened Media for a Transforming World. Seventh Wave Network.
Reiki treatments can be done almost anywhere, on the floor, on a bed, or even on the dining room table. But I certainly prefer giving and receiving treatments on my comfortable, lightweight Astrolite massage table. Contact us for more information at www.portablemassagetables.com. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Marissa, are you ready yet? I know you can hear me. You are not missing school again. Marissa! You trying to be a nobody or something? Let's go! All right then. Hit it. I know you can hear this. Hey guys, move closer. That's it. Girl, I am not leaving.
Hey, whatever it takes, don't let your friends drop out. A real friend can make all the difference.
Cut that noise, yo! I'm coming! Took you long enough. Thanks for the help, guys.
For more ways to help, go to OperationGraduation.com. A public service message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki Balancing Form and Essence. I have with me today Mara Mitchell, and she's going to continue what she was saying, which is extremely interesting. She's so Mara, you're on the brink of opening up a Reiki practice to offer Reiki to your community, people who live around you, and you were talking about this as being one of the gifts that is possible to offer people through your experience.
Yes. So you were asking about the gift that my generation of children kind of what we have to offer, and I think it really, the gift is our experience, just our experience of living with this force constantly. And so and then I think just simply practicing, putting our hands on other people, I mean, that's the way of sharing that experience.
Well, I mean, can you describe the process that led up to your deciding to open up a Reiki practice? And this sounds like an interesting story.
That's a tough one, but I can try.
Okay.
So it goes back to what I was saying about finding my own story or learning to tell my own story. And that process facilitated a lot of healing for me, just in terms of working on the psychological baggage that we all end up with or come in with or however that works.
Right.
So working through a lot of the experiences that maybe that have been difficult in my life, and in some ways I feel like those are tied to Reiki too, actually, because I feel like that has Reiki has contributed to my being a very porous person.
A very what?
Porous, as
porous.
In very sensitive to outside influences and having really horrible boundaries.
So, in other words, connection can be a little bit too close and too easy.
Connection can be way too close and unconscious, I would say. So this process of finding my own story has really been about defining myself. Like, okay, I have to be my own person with a definition and some, like, lines drawn around me. Not this, like, amorphous glowing glob.
Right.
So that's... I've had to do a lot of work around that, and also a big piece of that has been getting more connected to my body, kind of to my physical form. And getting a sense even of my boundaries and strengths, in my physical form. That I think all of these. So these elements, knowing who I am as a person and being well grounded in my body, were kind of prerequisites to even being able to think about practicing Reiki. Because without that, I feel like practicing Reiki in a public way would have just been a disaster.
For sure. Why do I say for sure? That might be a question people are asking themselves. Well, I think for sure because if you have issues around personal boundaries, then you can really take on a lot of responsibility that is not yours in the healing of other people.
Yes.
And it's a good exercise for you. And also, there is this little catchphrase. I want to go back and get this before we continue on with this part. You said that there was just as we were ending the session last, a little bit of possibly avoiding Reiki in your life, which I can relate to, but I'm just wondering how you related to this.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's actually what I was going to, the connection I was trying to get to next. So
okay, cool. Well, we're on track.
Yeah. So the avoidance, I think the avoidance was necessary in order for me to try to figure out who I was or who I am separate from Reiki. I mean, because it was so tied into what my parents did and the way I was raised, it was just like, okay, Reiki, can you just move over there for a while and, like, let me figure my own shit out? I just need a little space from you.
Yeah.
So I think I had, in order to try to formulate my own sense of self, I had to somehow separate myself from my parents, basically.
Uh-huh.
And Reiki was so tied into who they are. That I needed some distance from that. This whole process that I've been talking about, where kind of the place I eventually got to was that I can't separate myself from Reiki, because it's so much a part of who I am, and how I function in the world, and that to avoid it or to not practice was actually betrayal is not the right word, but it was it would be kind of ignoring a very central aspect of who I am and what I have to offer in the world, and that that to continue to avoid it was actually damaging. So because it required that I block out a very essential piece of who I am. So it's, I mean, at this point, it's like, it's not so much about choice. It's about, it's about surrender. I mean, I sound like my father, but
oh, it's appalling, isn't it? When we
it's
get
appalling.
Into sounding like our parents.
But you know, it's like this is just part of me and who I am, and like I said, it's what I have to offer the world. So you know what? Gosh darn it, I'm going to offer it.
All right, good for you. It takes a lot of courage to do that.
Oh, yeah, I'm, oh, every step of the process, I'm absolutely freaking myself out. Wait a minute, no, I can't do this. Oh, my God. But but I keep taking the steps to make it happen.
Oh, great.
So
I guess I will assume that you treat yourself every day and... Are there people around you who can give you Reiki? Do you have a Reiki community there?
I haven't found that yet. I know there are Reiki practitioners around. I think there are quite a mixture of styles or systems in this community.
Uh-huh.
So I have some contact information, but I haven't yet taken that step.
Yeah, pursued it. Yeah, I just wondered because I'm just thinking that in this whole process that, you know, I'm just wondering if you turn back to Reiki to find this kind of center place or if you're doing that mostly on your own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I was home over this last Christmas vacation, I kind of reconnected with my parents around this, you know, around Reiki. Audited a second degree class my mom was doing, and so read some of the books on my parents' shelves about like this is Takata and a little bit of the history. So far it seems like I go home in order to get that.
Well, Mara, this is a good place for us to break. We're going to take another commercial break, and we'll be back after this with the last segment of Mara Mitchell. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki. Balancing for the next.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her.
Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Reiki practitioners everywhere prefer Astrolite massage tables because of optimum portability, leg clearance, easy setup, comfort, and quality. For 15 years, Rampa Enterprises, previously Magic Flute, has been shipping tables around the world to the global Reiki community.
Why wait any longer to get yours? Contact us now through our website at www.portablemassagetables.com and we'll help you select just the right table to fit your needs. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We're talking today with Mara Mitchell. She's the daughter of Paul and Susan Mitchell, who live up in northern Idaho. A lot of you know who they are and maybe even know them. Mara is their daughter, who's the eldest of two children. And she's just been talking about, Mara, you've been talking about going back home and kind of, you know, using that time as a reconnection for the actual physical treatment process of Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
Was that what you were saying?
Yes, and to, I mean, and really to reconnect with the whole, yeah, the whole practice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just the knowledge that my parents hold from their, you know, 30-plus mm-hmm. years of practice. Well, and this is one thing that's really, ever since I moved back up to the Northwest from Arizona, where I lived for 4 years, reconnecting with home and family and land and kind of history has been really important to me. I've just developed more of a sense of being a continuation of something, not an isolated, independent entity,
right?
You know, all on, you know, drifting on the waves out there somewhere,
right?
You know, but really being, like having a sense of where and what I come from, and wanting to. And respecting that, and at this point, really wanting to continue that, and to, you know, to learn from the work that my parents have done, and where they've come from in their lives, and then pick that up and say, okay, well, you know, this is what they've passed on to me, in terms of genetics, in terms of...
right. Well, I always have talked about sort of spiritual genetics, some
yes.
things that we
yes.
we receive on a whole other level of existence that I actually don't have any words for.
Yeah, I really... I can definitely relate to that.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, Wanya Twan and her children, it's very clear for her that there's a passing on that's happening and that it's part of her responsibility as a parent to be sure that her children have Reiki and so on. And I feel that it's been an interesting, it's been interesting to talk with Annalie and then talk with you and see how these two, how both of the families had the same, you know, intention, and yet, you know, because of just circumstances, there's a different story, which I think is really refreshing and very beautiful.
Well, I think, I mean, that's interesting because I've gotten the sense, though I don't know the details, of that there's been a really strong connection and kind of continuity between Wanya and her daughters. And and I've definitely, I feel like in my case that's been a little, it's just been more complicated in terms of
Yeah, like there's just been other work that I've had to do in order to get to the place where I am
right.
willing or able to accept that, you know, kind
right.
of what to accept.
Which totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Know,
yeah.
Given,
I mean,
you know, given different personalities and so on.
Yep, yep. I mean, it's just how it is.
Yeah, exactly. So you took second degree, and how was it for you to sit in on the class?
It was great to audit my mom's class. I took second degree from Barbara McDaniel when she was living in Seattle, and
oh, that was a while ago.
Yeah, I was a junior or senior in high school.
And how was that to take Reiki from somebody other than your parents?
Oh, that was great. I really needed that. I mean, I was a teenager. I was in high school. There was no way I could have taken it from my parents at that stage of my life.
Uh-huh.
I really needed to go
uh-huh.
you know, outside the family.
Right.
And Barbara,
do you feel like then it allowed your parents to be parents and your Reiki master to be a Reiki master?
I think that's very possible. That's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. But I think that's been actually a very... now that you mention it, a very difficult issue for me, especially in relationship to my father. That... I don't know, that somehow that those two roles have been complicated. For me, being able to relate to him, you know, and not, yeah, and it just sometimes not being clear, you know, are you a Reiki master and a teacher, or are you my father? Because,
right, right.
You know, and actually,
well, I totally relate to this question.
Yeah, and what's interesting is the ways, when I was growing up, the ways that I most connected with him were through his work. So, there were a couple of times when I traveled with him alone to Europe, you know, and attended, you know, did Aikido workshops with him. I don't think I sat in on any of his classes, but just kind of got to tag along when he was working. Yeah, and have done a good amount of work with him in the dojo, and it's like that's been the way we've connected.
Right.
So yeah, and that part still feels a little bit unresolved. I mean, that's, as far as the, you know, that... especially the father role. I mean, we're still working on that.
Well, I have a feeling that, you know, just take it from me anyway, who's still working on her father and mother roles even when I'm 60. So, but there are stages of it. And
Yeah.
That's great.
Sure.
So, Reiki, it's interesting because when I used to teach my classes, I used to say, well, you know, when we're born, obviously we all have Reiki, and when we're born as children, you know, Reiki is very prevalent in our lives because it's, we don't have socialization that kind of separates us from this part of us that naturally is connected, that is naturally connected to our innate gifts that we hold as human beings. And it feels that in your story, this is exemplified, or I'd like to see, from my perspective, see it as exemplified in the sense of your, you know, learning how to have your personal boundaries, how to feel the different boundaries of, you know, even your parents being Reiki masters, being your Reiki master, being your parent, and how that interacts with this whole sort of, we are all connected, we are all one. So I feel that there, in looking at your life, I just see this wonderful title that we have of, Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence, and you've sort of been in the essential world a lot, and now you're trying, it feels like you're balancing this with some relativity, these boundaries and definitive roles and so on, which I think is very healthy.
Definitely. I mean, it's absolutely essential for life on Earth.
Right, exactly.
Actually, that's very funny. Yes, the title of your show makes perfect sense to me now.
Yeah, great. Wonderful.
Yeah, wonderful. And I think that's the last, kind of one of the last things I would say is, this is the ironic, the total irony, I feel like, of my life, is that I had to establish myself as an individual in order to be able to connect to this oneness. So there's really, I feel like there's a paradox there.
It's a wonderful paradox.
Yeah,
really wonderful.
Really.
Well, Mara, this is a great place to end our interview, and we must, because we've run out of time, if you can imagine. The hour flies by. Thank you so much for your time and energy and your sharing.
Yeah, thank you, Phyllis. I'm glad we got to do this.
So great. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network and discover how you can find balance from within.